comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
Hi, folks, and welcome to The Kevin Smith Show. Wherever you happen to be all around this gorgeous planet, thanks for being here at The Kevin Smith Show. Talk radio like nowhere else on Earth. It's the show where you matter. Well, we had some interesting times last night. Toward the end of the second hour, my website, for many, many people, just disappeared. Now, it did not get hacked, but you could not access it. What was really weird about that is that some people, in fact, a large number of people, sent me emails because we started talking about the fact that the website was down. I mean, it was up and working whenever the show started, and then it just disappeared in that second hour. But some people around the world were able to access the website with no problem. And as a matter of fact, I'm in the Phoenix area. I got two emails from listeners in the Phoenix area who said they could access the website. There was no problem. And yet I could not access it here, and other people around the world were having problems accessing it. I really have no answer for that. I don't know. Now, I did call the hosting company, and they told me that their admin person was working, installing some software in that server that we're on, and that we would be back up within 15, 20 minutes. And we were. But I don't understand how, and maybe you do, maybe you're an expert in this kind of thing and you do understand it, but I don't understand how it is that if he's installing software in that server and it takes the site down for anybody, it ought to take it down for everybody, wouldn't you think? Because it's the server. It's not a router or a relay out there. It's the server. So if it goes down for anybody, it should go down for everybody, but it didn't. So it sounds a little fishy to me. I don't know what's what with that, but you may be an expert in that, and perhaps you would grant me a little bit of your time if you know the answer to send that to me in an email. I'd like to understand how that could happen. I don't think it can. I think something else was up, but I don't know what. Speaking of something's up, one of the stories that's really reached a boiling point out on the internet in the past couple of days has been this story about a legislator from, I believe it's, he's from New Hampshire originally. That's where he was a legislator. He's retired. And he's gone public with a statement that he saw, while he was a legislator, he saw an official government document related to the briefing of President Ike Eisenhower regarding extraterrestrials. Well, that has resurrected the rumors and the stories about an E.T. Eisenhower meeting. We're going to talk about that tonight. It's curious stuff. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back. Every once in a while, a story that has been out there, and sort of, you know, it's out there, but it kind of gets shuffled to the bottom of the pile as new information comes along about other things. Every once in a while, one of those stories sort of recycles and sort of comes back up. And that is the way this story is doing, and that is the story that's been out for a long time. I would say going back at least into the late 80s, early 90s, and you may have been aware of it before that, but somewhere along there is when I became aware of this story that Ike Eisenhower, our president, one of our greatest generals, one of our greatest presidents, had met with extraterrestrials, and as the story went, there was a treaty that was signed between us and them. And, you know, it sounded, when I first heard it way back then, it sounded just a little too fantastic. And the story went, you know, it worked its way kind of towards the bottom of the pile. And then other people began to come out with information talking about it in the mid to late 90s, and the story was resurrected. And then it began to work its way down to the bottom of the pile. And every so often, this story seems to get new life breathed into it. And it is, without question, one of the most interesting and probably one of the most controversial stories in the world of UFOs. Controversial because it involves the highest level of government in the United States of America. That would be the president. And Ike was president back when president really meant president. And so anyway, there you have, you know, the most powerful man on the planet that, according to the story, met with extraterrestrials, talked with them, worked out a treaty or negotiated a treaty with them. And we've been operating under that treaty ever since, according to the story. But is there any truth to it? Is there any supporting evidence for it? Well, you know, there's a lot of circumstantial evidence that says this could be true. First of all, this is purported to have taken place February the 20th, 1954. Now, a week earlier, Eisenhower had taken a quail shooting vacation in Georgia. And then, I think it was a week earlier. Certainly no more than a couple of weeks earlier. So the announcement that he was going to, well, actually the announcement that he was going to take another vacation had come just about a week after that vacation in Georgia. So he goes on vacation in Georgia, comes back to work, and about a week later, there is the announcement that he's going to take another vacation out in Palm Springs. And on February the 20th, 1954, he was out in Palm Springs, which is in, of course, California. And on the evening of February the 20th, Saturday night, he goes missing. This is the president of the United States. The press can't find him. You know, they're running around. There were even rumors that he had fallen gravely ill, or maybe had even died. And because, you know, they couldn't find him, and nobody would tell them where he was. And then there was a very hastily constructed press conference, in which the press secretary tells the press that the situation is that the president had lost, he was eating fried chicken and had lost the cap off a tooth and had to be taken to a local dentist for emergency dental procedure. Well, nobody knew for sure where he was, and nobody knew for sure who was this dentist. So on the 21st, February the 21st, there was an official function at which they produced a local dentist who said that he was, in fact, the dentist that had treated the president. Well, according to the story about Ike and the extraterrestrials, and by the way, when I put this up on the website, Ike and ETs, the producer said that sounds like some kind of rock band, Ike and the ETs. But he's bent. Anyway, this missing time on February the 20th is when, according to various sources, President Eisenhower was not getting his tooth worked on, but President Eisenhower was secretly flown to Muroc Airfield, which became later, it was renamed Edwards Air Force Base, and that there he met with some extraterrestrials and discussed exchanges of technology and so forth. We'll get into to all of that in a little bit. But what I want to do is, for those of you who are watching, you're going to see a video, those of you in our TV channel. Those of you who are on radio are going to hear what is the audio from that video. And what we're going to hear is a former legislator from the New Hampshire state government. And I'll just let him tell you in his words what he knows about Ike and the ETs. So give us just a second here while we set this up, and we'll see if we can get this going for you.
State Representative from New Hampshire. Thank you for your attention to this brief message concerning the world's interaction with both Earth-based and off-world astronauts. The reason I am making this announcement is in the hopes of encouraging better perspective to all who explore the universe. Therefore, as a result, making a more valuable contribution to humanity for the benefit of all faiths, all races, and all nations. Another reason I am here today is because I believe in the foundational wisdom of our nation, which was laid down by our founding fathers. And because we know that highly advanced knowledge and information can assist human beings in solving various problems, both in current times and in our future. When I was in the New Hampshire State Legislature, I served on the State Federal Relations and Veterans Affairs Committee. It was apparently important that as a representative of the sovereign people who had elected me to this honorable office, that I be updated on a large number of topics related to the affairs of our people and our nation. As I understood it, some of those ongoing topics had been examined and categorized as federal, state, local development, and security matters. These documents related to various topics, some of which spanned decades of our nation's history. One of those recurring topics is the reason I am addressing you this evening. I would like to submit to our nation my personal testimony of one document related to one of these ongoing topics, which I saw while in office serving on the State Federal Relations and Veterans Affairs Committee. The document I saw was an official brief to President Eisenhower. To the best of my memory, this brief was pervaded with a sense of hope, and it informed President Eisenhower of the continued presence of extraterrestrial beings here in the United States of America. The brief seemed to indicate that a meeting between the President and some of these visitors could be arranged as appropriate if desired. The tone of the brief indicated to me that there was no need for concern, since these visitors were in no way causing any harm or had any intention whatsoever of causing any disruption then or in the future. While I can't verify the times or places or that any meeting or meetings occurred directly between Eisenhower and these visitors, because of his optimism in his farewell address in 1961, I personally believe that Eisenhower did indeed meet with these extraterrestrial off-world astronauts.
Well, there you have it. I apologize for the poor quality of that audio, the way it kept breaking up, but that's the way, that's from YouTube, and that's the way it is on YouTube. That's the way we got it. And so, but you could hear what he had to say, and he's quite serious in telling us that he has seen a document that was a briefing to President Eisenhower regarding the reality of extraterrestrial presence and continual extraterrestrial presence here in the United States of America. Well, there are people, you know, who have made an industry of trying to debunk this story. And what they have attempted to do is to say that it's all just bunk. They've attempted to say that, you know, that this didn't happen, and that the briefing document is all fake. It's all just hoaxed. But here you have a state legislator who says he saw an official U.S. government document, and that it was the briefing to President Eisenhower about the fact that extraterrestrials are here. They didn't just drop in for a visit, but they are here continually in the United States of America. So the question then is, did Eisenhower actually meet with these? And there are other parts of the story. You know, the document, the briefing document, is out there. I've read it, and others have read it. It's out there on the internet. You may have it. You may have it stored in your computer. And if you do have it stored in your computer, then I would recommend that you take another look at it, read it, and review it. If you don't, well, you can go out on the internet and search for it. But here's the deal. All of the debunking was focused originally at debunking that document. And even if that document that's out there is not exactly the right one, if it's not exactly the real deal, the fact that such a document existed is now on the public record with a state legislator who from New Hampshire who is saying it exists, I have seen it, I have read it, and here's what it was about. So the debunking of the document itself is pretty much done away with now. And as far as did such a document exist, the question of was Ike Eisenhower briefed that extraterrestrials are present here and that they are living continually in the United States? Was he briefed on this? Well, that whole concept is something that people tried to debunk. And now that debunking is as well done away with. We now see that this sweeps that aside. So then you can move on to the other evidence. The other evidence being the details of the meeting. Now, the details of the meeting are pretty interesting. One person who claims to have been there is someone by the name of Gerald Light. Now, Gerald Light was a famous psychic, a person in California especially, a person well-versed in occult information and so forth. He was well-known in the metaphysical community in Southern California. And allegedly, the purpose of having him in a group of civilians that were sort of urged, invited, coerced, if you will, into attending this meeting, the purpose of this whole civilian delegation was to test public reaction to the presence of extraterrestrials. So, what was the public reaction? What did Gerald Light have to say? We'll find out when we come back. You know, dealing with the whole UFO thing, as I have for a number of years, and have publicly on the show for the last 10 years, one of the things that you run into a lot, one of the things I've heard a lot from people is when you offer someone's testimony as you sort of enter it into evidence. One of the things that I've heard is, well, that's just some guy saying that. I mean, anybody can say anything. Please keep in mind that that's true. Please keep in mind that that is also true in courts of law. And we accept people's testimony into evidence every single day in every court across this country. And so the fact that it's just some guy saying that has there are two important things to keep in mind about it. One, that's a true statement. It's somebody just saying that, and anybody can say anything. That's one point of fact, one point of truth. The other point of truth is that is also true of every testimony given in every court. And so simply because it's just someone's testimony, so to speak, that's no reason to toss it out and say, well, that's just someone talking. There's absolutely no rational basis to just toss it out because it's a personal testimony of what they say they have seen and experienced. If we're going to accept their testimonies in courts, then certainly we have no basis for throwing their testimony out simply on the face of the fact that it's just someone talking. Well, Gerald Light, as I said, was a well-known, gifted psychic and very well-known leader in the metaphysical community in Southern California. And he, after this alleged meeting, he wrote a letter. And he wrote this letter to Mead Lane. And Mead Lane published this. Mead Lane at that time was director of Borderland Sciences Research Associates. It's now called Borderland Science Research Foundation. But Mead Lane was at that time director of it. And Gerald Light wrote this letter to him. Now I'm quoting from the letter. "My dear friends, I have just returned from Muroc." Well, today that's called Edwards Air Force Base. The report is true, devastatingly true. I made the journey in company with Franklin Allen of the Hearst Papers and Edwin Norse of Brookings Institute and Bishop McIntyre of Los Angeles. When we were allowed to enter the restricted section after about 6 hours in which we were checked on every possible item, event, incident, and aspect of our personal and public lives, I had the distinct feeling that the world had come to an end with fantastic realism, for I have never seen so many human beings in a state of complete collapse and confusion as they realized that their own world had indeed ended with such finality as to beggar description. The reality of the, quote, other plane, aeroforms, is now and forever removed from the realms of speculation and made a rather painful part of the consciousness of every responsible scientific and political group. That's what Gerald Light wrote. This meeting took place February the 20th, according to the reports, February the 20th, 1954. This letter was written April 16th, 1954. So he had had some time to let this percolate in his mind and decide what he was going to write. He had had some time to back off and get some perspective on what had happened. Well, he continues. He says, "During my 2 days visit, I saw 5 separate and distinct types of aircraft being studied and handled by our Air Force officials with the assistance and permission of the Etherians." That's what he calls them. "I have no words to express my reactions. It has finally happened. It is now a matter of history." All right, now I want you to pay particular attention to what he writes next. I think this has particular application to us living right now in 2010. And people are saying disclosure is, it's got to happen. It's got to break. It will happen. And they're saying, some people write articles and they'll say, by this date, President Obama will make disclosure. He cannot stop. It's got to happen. And you've heard me say maybe and maybe not. We've been here many times before. So listen carefully now to what Gerald Light writes. "President Eisenhower, as you may already know, was spirited over to Muroc one night during his visit to Palm Springs recently. And it is my conviction, listen, it is my conviction that he will ignore the terrific conflict between the various authorities and go directly to the people via radio and television if the impasse continues much longer. From what I could gather, an official statement to the country is being prepared for delivery about the middle of May. That was in 1954, and you're still waiting for Ike Eisenhower to step in front of the cameras and make disclosure. It was never made. Who knows why? Well, what do we know about these people? Dr. Edwin Norse, born in 1883, died in 1974, was the first chairman of the Council of Economic Advisors to the President. He was President Truman's chief economic advisor. And he was retired, of course, in 1954. At that time, he was retired. But he certainly would have been a good choice of someone who could give confidential economic advice to President Eisenhower. What economic impact will this first contact have? Cardinal James Francis McIntyre was the bishop and head of the Catholic Church in Los Angeles, born in 1948, died in 1970. And he would, of course, been important because they wanted to gauge, of course, what kind of impact all of this would have on religion. Cardinal McIntyre had sufficient rank and authority to represent the Catholic Church and the religious community and a delegation of community leaders. The fourth member of the delegation was Franklin Winthrop Allen. He was a former reporter with Hearst Newspapers, and he had written a book instructing reporters on how to deal with congressional committee hearings. As a member of the press, this was someone that they felt they could trust quite naturally. You could trust this guy to keep things confidential. Now, Edwin Norse, Dr. Edwin Norse, the first one that I mentioned, certainly he would keep things confidential regarding economic impact, would he not? I mean, he's already been a government advisor to the president. The cardinal, he could keep things confidential. You expect the priest to do that. And then you have a particular reporter who is elderly and who has written books about dealing with congressional committee hearings, so they probably felt they could trust him as well. But did the meeting with the extraterrestrials actually happen? Well, you have Gerald Light saying that it happened and he was there. That's his testimony. So you have in writing firsthand testimony. There are others who have testified that it was not they themselves who were there, but a close family member who was there. We know most of what we know about Jesse Marcel, Major Jesse Marcel, we know most of what we know about him and the events of the night after he picked up debris at Roswell. We know it from his son, Jesse Marcel Jr. And that's the case with the testimony of Charles Suggs. Now, Charles Suggs was a Navy commander. It's his son who has told us about what his dad said transpired. He said that he accompanied President Ike Eisenhower, along with others, on February the 20th to Muroc, or Edwards Air Force Base. And according to Charlie Suggs, his father says that they, the group, including the president, met and spoke with two white-haired Nordics that had pale blue eyes and colorless lips. The spokesman stood a number of feet away from the president and would not let him approach any closer. A second Nordic on the extended ramp of a biconvex saucer that stood on tripod landing gear on the landing strip watched as they had this meeting. According to Suggs, there were B-58 Hustlers on the field, even though the first one did not fly officially until 1956. So this is 2 years before those planes were officially deployed. He said these visitors said they came from another solar system, and they posed detailed questions about our nuclear testing. There's another whistleblower that you're all very familiar with, and he's had a whole lot to say about this this meeting as well. His name, and he's been a guest on this show, is John Lear. And John Lear is a highly awarded and highly acknowledged pilot. He was an L-1011 captain. He was also a pilot for the CIA, and he holds all kinds of speed records and test flight records. And we're going to see what he has to say about this meeting when we come back. Welcome back. We're talking about President Ike Eisenhower and whether or not President Eisenhower had a meeting with extraterrestrials and whether or not, as the story goes, there was a treaty between us and them. As we stepped away for break, I had just mentioned that John Lear, who's been a guest on this show, and you're all familiar with John Lear, his father was the creator of the Lear Jet and the founder of the Lear Jet Corporation. Well, John Lear is a former Lockheed L-1011 captain. He flew over 150 test aircraft. He held 18 world speed records. And during the late 60s, 70s, and early 80s was a contract pilot for the CIA. During that period of time, John Lear became pretty good friends and formed a close relationship with the CIA director, William Colby. William Colby was in charge of covert operations in Vietnam before he became the director of Central Intelligence. Now, according to Lear, there had been meetings with more than one extraterrestrial race, more meetings than just one. And he said that one of those extraterrestrial races had provided a warning prior to any agreement being eventually signed, and they claimed they could help us get rid of the grays, the ones we call the grays. They said these would not be good for us, and they could help us rid ourselves of them. But according to Lear, President Eisenhower turned down this offer, because this group of extraterrestrials was not offering to share with us any technology. And so he turned down their offer to get rid of the grays. Someone else who talks about us meeting with multiple extraterrestrial races has also been a guest on this show multiple times, and that is Command Sergeant Major Robert Dean. And he states that he saw, while he was at SHAPE, which is at NATO headquarters, he saw documents to that effect, and that in fact there were multiple extraterrestrial races with which we either had or had at some time in the past contact with. He said there were some that looked just like us. They could walk down the street and you wouldn't even notice that there was any difference. They just look like us. He said there are two other groups that were very large. He says one group were 6 to 8 feet tall, sometimes 9 feet tall, and they were humanoid, but very pale and very white. And they didn't have any hair. There was another group that had sort of a reptilian quality to them, according to Robert Dean. He said, we had encountered them. Military people and police officers all over the world have run into these guys. They had, they had vertical pupils in their eyes, much like what you find in reptiles. And their skin was very much like what you find on the stomach of a lizard. So those were the four that they knew of in 1964, 10 years after this alleged meeting between Ike Eisenhower and the extraterrestrials. Now, it is mentioned, it is in the lore, in the stuff that's out there on the internet, it is mentioned that there was a treaty that was signed between us and an extraterrestrial race. One of the races that gets referred to as the large-nosed gray aliens, they're pretty much like what we call the grays, except they have this large nose. It is said that in 1954, this race of large-nosed gray aliens had been orbiting the Earth, and they landed at Holloman Air Force Base. At that point, a basic agreement was reached. The race identified themselves as originating from a planet around a red star in the constellation Orion, and we call that star Betelgeuse. They stated that their planet was dying and that at some unknown future time, they would no longer be able to survive there. So they worked out this treaty. Now, apparently, the way the treaty went, and there, it's, you know, you get different stories from different people about this, but according to the stories, the common denominators are these. That we would not interfere in their affairs, they would not interfere in our affairs, and we would keep their presence here on Earth a secret. They would furnish us with advanced technology and would help us in our technological development. They would not make any treaty with any other Earth nation. They could abduct humans on a limited and periodic basis for the purpose of medical examination and monitoring of our development, with the stipulation that the humans would not be harmed, would be returned to their point of abduction, and would have no memory of the event, and that this alien nation would furnish Majesty 12, or MJ-12, with a list of all human contacts and abductees on a regularly scheduled basis. Apparently, that treaty was signed because, and this is what some others have said, we really didn't have the wherewithal to say no and to make it stick. If we had said no, then they could have just decided to abduct whoever they want to with no accountability and do whatever they wanted to do. And so the treaty was signed. Now, that's the way the story goes. Philip Corso mentions this in his book. Philip Corso, Colonel Philip Corso, was a highly decorated officer that served in Eisenhower's National Security Council. And he alluded to this treaty signed by Eisenhower with extraterrestrials in his memoirs. Here's what he wrote. We had negotiated a kind of surrender with them, the extraterrestrials, as long as we couldn't fight them. They dictated the terms because they knew what we most feared was disclosure. Corso's claim of this negotiated surrender seems to indicate some sort of an agreement or treaty was reached, and he was not really very happy with that. Now, there are other people that have made similar statements about the treaty and were not really pleased with it. In October of 1955, a little more than a year after this meeting was supposed to have happened, the Eisenhower administration entered into some agreements. And Corso believed that these agreements, this negotiated surrender, indicated that the extraterrestrial agenda was highly suspect. General Douglas MacArthur, I think some of you, especially those of you my age or older, you remember General MacArthur. He didn't directly mention any government treaty with extraterrestrials, but he did say something really interesting in October of 1955. We'll get to that when we come back. And welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. We're talking tonight about this story that's been around for a long time. The story about Ike Eisenhower having met with extraterrestrials and signed a treaty with them. And we'll open up the telephone lines in just a minute, but let me share with you what General Douglas MacArthur had to say in October 1955. He said, and I quote, "The nations of the world will have to unite, for the next war will be an interplanetary war. The nations of the earth must someday make a common front against attack by people from other planets." Some people, of course, say, well, that's nonsense because the extraterrestrials pose no threat to us. Others say, well, abducting people against their will and doing experiments on them is criminal and it certainly doesn't sound like these guys are being friendly to us. So you have both sides of that issue. What I've said about it is I would think extraterrestrials, wherever they come from, because apparently they come from all over the place, would be in some respects just like us. Some of them would be very benign to us, and some of them would be very self-serving, and we wouldn't matter to them, and we could view that as being hostile to us. So what I want us to do here is this. This story is up again. Now, the reason that we're talking about this tonight is I have gotten numerous emails from you over the past couple of days. I've gotten numerous emails from you and the link to the YouTube video from several of you. I want to thank you for that. But this is something that really has captured people's attention and apparently really is kind of boiling again on the story of Ike Eisenhower and the extraterrestrials. Now, I've shared with you the things that we know about this story. We have circumstantial evidence that says it certainly something strange was going on February the 17th through the 24th. Something weird was going on because Eisenhower had just finished a vacation in Georgia, came back, and within a week announced that this one was going to take place. And then in this one, he disappears. And it was, you know, you got to wonder about this. Here he disappears. Now, let's play this as if we were there. He's in Palm Springs, and the press corps, of course, is keeping up with everything Ike is doing and who he meets with and what's going on and so forth. And he disappears from them. What is said is that what the cover story that the press has given after they start saying, well, maybe the president has fallen gravely ill. Maybe he's dead. Well, then they had to come up with a cover story. And the cover story was that a cap came off, a dental cap came off while Ike was eating some chicken. And that he had to be rushed away to a local dentist to get that fixed. You would think that when they rush him away to a dentist, they wouldn't do it in such great secrecy. You know, you drive out the front gate and drive away and that's it, and you give the press their story. That isn't what happened. Ike simply disappears. So he was spirited away from his vacation spot by very, very secretive means. And he's gone for a day. And then he's back. And they get this story about the dentist. So circumstantial evidence points to the possibility this could have happened. We have evidence from a state legislator from New Hampshire who says he personally saw and read the document, the official government document, that briefed President Eisenhower on the fact that extraterrestrials are here and they're here continually in the United States of America. And you have his take on it that he said, though he can't prove it, he believes that this meeting with the extraterrestrials took place. You have the testimony of Gerald Light and his testimony, his letter, talking about being part of that community, that group of community leaders that was assembled and taken to Muroc, or Edwards Air Force Base, and were present at these meetings with extraterrestrials. And the purpose of them being there was, of course, to gauge how the public may respond to the information that extraterrestrials are real, they are here, and we have contact with them. And you heard his description of the response. Interestingly, one of those people in that group was affiliated with the Brookings Institute, and the Brookings Institute issued that report saying they thought there would be great social upheaval if it became known that there was contact with extraterrestrials. You have the testimony of the son of, what was his name? Suggs? And he said that that was his father, of course, and he said that his father had been part of that group that went out there. Navy Commander Charles Suggs had been out there in that group with President Ike Eisenhower on February the 20th, 1954, and that they spoke to two white-haired Nordics that had pale blue eyes, colorless lips, and he describes the craft and so forth. You have Colonel Corso that alludes to the fact that the meeting took place and that there was a negotiated, what he called negotiated surrender, a treaty with this group of extraterrestrials, because there really wasn't any way that we could say no and enforce it. So here's what I would like for us to do tonight. I'm going to open up the telephone, and what I would like for us to do tonight is think out loud about this, okay? I'm not saying that this meeting took place. I still get emails all the time where someone wants to know if I believe in UFOs. I still get email all the time where someone says that, you know, they're all upset because we discussed something, and they take the position that because we discussed it that I'm saying that's true. So let's put our really honest-to-God grown-up thinking hats on, and let's have some just open thinking about this. Do you think that this meeting took place? Do you think the evidence is sufficient for us to say that Ike Eisenhower did in fact meet with extraterrestrials? Perhaps there was a treaty. Maybe you think there was a treaty. But what does the evidence say to you? And let's just think out loud about it. The telephone numbers are up on our TV screen. For those of you on radio, here they are. The main number here in the studio, worldwide, this will work, 623-444-5889. If you're in the USA or you're in Canada and you need to call me on toll-free, you can do so, 888-223-4599. If you're outside of the USA and Canada, you can call me on our main number. Or you, if you don't want to make the international call, you can go to my website, scroll down, and you'll see the link that says Flash Message. If you're outside of the USA, if you're outside of Canada, that link is for you if you don't want to make the international call. All right, let's go to the telephone line. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yeah, it's Kevin from North Bay, Ontario.
Hi, Kevin.
Hello there. Justin TV doesn't like me very much because I can't seem to access your video.
It's doing what?
I don't think it likes me very much. It keeps telling me it can't find your the signal or the stream or whatever. Yeah.
Well, you know, for the past couple of nights, we've had some weird stuff happening, Kevin.
Well, you know, we're telling a bit too much truth, Kevin. We best shut up, eh?
Well, we may be telling too much truth, but... You know, anybody that hopes I'm going to shut up is wasting hopes.
Yep, I know our forum has been getting attacked. We've been playing a couple of documentaries that they don't like very much being broadcast to the world, but you know what, we do it anyway. Yeah, the old Ike meeting the aliens story, I've read that one in so many places and in so many books. It's quite interesting. And, you know, I think that... stemming from that treaty that was signed, I think that these whoever they are, I tend to think they're more, these aliens are more human than we'd like to believe. Not from here though. I think they've been living elsewhere for the last few thousand years. But you know, I'm thinking back to about 2001 where they came up with a message saying we oppose deception. I think the military-industrial complex may have played a fast one on these guys, and they weren't too happy about it. Do you remember the Eris, that message where they had the alien head with the disc, that big crop circle?
Yeah.
Years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think whatever was part of that treaty, I think they may have made these friends of ours a little mad. You know what I mean?
Well, according to Philip Schneider, there was actually a gun battle between special forces, U.S. special forces, and extraterrestrials underground, and I believe that was supposed to have happened at Dulce, New Mexico. Now, a lot of people throw cold water on that. A lot of people, you know, that are significant researchers and investigators in the UFO community have thrown cold water on it, and they say that it just didn't happen. Others have said it did happen. What Philip Schneider said was that, there was a growing discontent in the U.S. government over the fact that these aliens were not keeping the treaty. They were abducting far too many people. They weren't giving a full accounting, etc., and that it erupted finally into this gun battle. Well, so I don't know if that is a true story. I don't know if it's not, but that was his story, and certainly it's something people are aware of.
Well, we know that these elitists, they lie on a regular basis. It seems all that they do nowadays, there's no truth ever coming out of them anymore. And then you get that message from about 9 years ago saying that we oppose deception. You know, I wonder what exactly did these people pull off? Was it about the government completely lying to the entire world about the existence of these things? The disinformation campaigns that were put out. It's one thing trying to keep this secret, but look at all the lies and disinfo that's also been put out there. You know, how much of this is really real? Well, how much of it is disinfo? There's been a lot of deception perpetrated by the government itself about a lot of these issues.
Well, that's true. Now, let me ask you this. I showed at the beginning of tonight's broadcast, in the early part of the broadcast, I showed the YouTube clip of the former legislator from New Hampshire. And he told his story about having seen the briefing document. So do you think that's the truth, or is he disinformation?
I think that these aliens, again, I think that these aliens are a lot more human than a lot of...
The question is, do you think that what that legislator said was true, or do you think he was providing disinformation?
Well, from what I was able to see on that, I think he was telling the truth. At least he thought he was telling the truth anyway.
Well, he either was or he wasn't. Either he saw the briefing document or he didn't.
Yeah. I think
so. He can't think he was telling the truth. He knows whether he saw it or not, so he's either telling the truth or he's lying.
Yeah, I think he was honest.
Do you?
Yeah.
All right. Kevin, thanks for the call. Very interesting. Let's think out loud, folks. Let's bat this around and see what we come up with. And remember when you were going to university and you got those free-for-all kind of discussions going in class sometimes? Professors would let you do that sometimes, and people were asking, well, what about this and what about this piece of evidence? You've got pieces of evidence. You've got things you think about relative to this story. And I'd like to know what you think about this story. Do you think this story has legs? Do you think it's true? Did the President of the United States of America, Dwight David Eisenhower, meet with extraterrestrials, or did he not? Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yeah, good evening, Kevin. It's Terry from Ohio.
Hello, Terry.
Hi. Now, this is very interesting to be able to hear that, senator say that. But this first time I heard, I heard about a treaty, but I never heard that, it was a surrender treaty.
That's what Philip Corso called it. That was his opinion of it.
Because, why would he tell the first person or group, you're not willing to help us, so, we don't care for you to get rid of the graves, and then somehow turn around and let somebody else come down here and, make the president believe that we will be attacked to write a... surrender documentation? I mean, that doesn't jive.
No, you're misunderstanding. We did not sign a surrender. Philip Corso considered the treaty to be negotiated surrender. It was a treaty. Philip Corso's opinion of that treaty was it was the same thing as us surrendering because we had no way to say no, according to him. Whatever the Grays dictated is what we signed.
Yeah, but like the first people that talked to us and told us that the Grays are bad, and you know, and we didn't agree to, you know, because they wouldn't give us technology.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Well, they also demanded that we get rid of our nuclear weapons, and at that point, the discussion was over.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's a moot point anyways, because I, you know, like it's been proven so far, or I don't know proven or not, but, you know, it's been stated several times that these things have been around our nuclear weapons and stuff and turned them on and off, and, you know, it doesn't, you know, whether we agree to turn them on or off, you know, it basically seems like it doesn't really matter, you know, because...
Well, see, Terry, it mattered to them.
Yeah.
The reason they would not share technology is because we would not get rid of our nuclear weapons.
Yeah, I didn't hear that part of it, though. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just heard he wouldn't give us any technology, so, you know, they didn't, you know, they went with the Grays because supposedly they were, you know, giving us technology, even though they might be harmful to us. You know, it's what it kind of comes out as.
That, well, and it does come out as that, because regardless of the reason that the first group would not give us technology, the fact that they wouldn't, whatever their reason, is the reason we did not do business with them, according to the story. And regardless of their reason for not giving the technology, the fact they would not share technology is why our side decided not to do business with them. And according to this, the story, the reason we did business with the Grays is because they agreed to share some technology with us.
I wonder, since, you know, we made a big foo-faw, you know, if these guys, you know, it was a one-time offer, you know, or could we send an SOS saying, okay, yeah, you were right, these, you know, these Grays are, you know, paying our butt, you know, is the deal still available?
Probably not. Probably not.
That's what makes me also think, you know, that, you know, because our country wouldn't stand down as far as being in space, you know, and with them shutting down, you know, NASA and stuff, you know, there's no way America's just going to sit on the sidelines. So I think they do have technology way beyond regular rockets.
Well, I think they do. I think the military does.
You know, and they're going to just have to come out with it sooner or later, just like the stealth. I mean, you know, it's going to come to a point where, you know, it's just like our nuclear weapons. Let's say we never told anybody we had them. What's the deterrent then? You know, yeah, if they attack us, then we blow them the heck and back, but it didn't deter them because they didn't know about it. So,
yeah, knowing about it is a deterrence, that's true. But we will never know about it till they're obsolete. They don't get deployed into public view. Nothing is deployed into public view until it's obsolete. So whenever you see the stealth fighter or the stealth bomber, remember when they first rolled out? They were obsolete.
Yeah.
And
here, some of them, the bombers, have anti-gravity equipment aboard them.
Yeah, I've heard that. Terry, I have to move along, but thank you so much for the call. Interesting conversation, interesting thoughts. 623-444-5889 or toll free at 888-223-4444. 4599. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yeah, this is Tony from Denver.
Hi, Tony.
Yeah, I wanted to maybe make a comment, ask you a question about Ike.
All right.
Do you think maybe Ike knew about reincarnation from the ETs, or maybe even General Patton?
Well, Patton certainly was familiar with the concept of reincarnation and believed that he had lived previous lives. I don't know about General Eisenhower.
What about the ET base on the moon and the soul catcher?
You know, I don't know what Ike would have been told about that. I don't know.
Maybe that's what the meeting was about. I don't know. Just a question I had.
Mm-hmm. All right. Tony, thanks. I wish I had an answer to your question. I do. The answer is I don't know. I wish I had a better answer. Thanks for the call. 623-444-5889. All right, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Are you willing to hang on through the break? Hello, caller. All right, the caller has gone away. We have a break coming up here in just a few seconds. What we're doing tonight is sort of free-for-all open line thinking. It's not open topic tonight, but it's open line. And let me see if this caller is willing to hang on. Caller, are you willing to hang on through the break?
Sure, Kevin.
All right, hang in there. And we're talking about, did Ike Eisenhower actually have a meeting with extraterrestrials? We'll be back right after this. Welcome back. We're talking about Ike Eisenhower, President Eisenhower, and the possibility that he may have had actually a meeting with extraterrestrials February the 20th, 1954, at Muroc Air Base, which today is called Edwards Air Force Base. All right, let's go to the telephone, and Stefan is on the telephone, I know, because I recognize the voice. Stefan? From Canada. What's on your mind this evening?
Yeah, Kevin, one of Kurzweil's statements in his memoirs really caught my eye, and you might have read it online, but I didn't hear it. He stated that we had negotiated kind of surrender with them as long as we couldn't fight them. They dictated the terms because they knew that what we feared the most was disclosure. And that was in 54, right?
Yes.
Kevin?
Yes.
With everything going on today, it seems like every time some sort of official or a body pronounces something radical on extraterrestrials, there's always some sort of either a terrorist event or a lawsuit or some sort of event that diverts that attention away. And with all those, I heard through the grapevine that 16,000 letters or so had gone into the White House for the Million Facts on Washington effort this past year and a half. And, well, that's 6,000 more than what went in during Carter's administration. So obviously, today, the administration must be still afraid of disclosure, and if we're ramping up our military, and we have no intention of disclosing, logically speaking, that probably means that the extraterrestrials are going to disclose and force themselves, do you think?
Well, it would be speculation. I would speculate that at some point, the ETs will get tired of playing the game with secrecy, and at some point they will just say, oh, you know, to heck with this, and they will just reveal themselves to everybody.
I'm feeling too.
But you know, it is very interesting that you know, Gerald Light wrote his letter. He says he was at this meeting February the 20th, 1954, and he wrote this letter in April, I believe April the 16th, 1954. And at that time, he was saying that his understanding was that Eisenhower, regardless of what other authorities wanted, was going to make this disclosure in May. Okay? So he was just 2, 3, 4 weeks away from what he expected to be disclosure. And it didn't happen. So, you know, I think that if all of that story is true, then President Eisenhower ran into something more powerful than the president.
Yeah. Yeah.
But let me ask you, what do you think about Gerald Light's letter? What do you think? His testimony of having been at this meeting, do you think that's truthful?
I sort of think I does because, you know, the threat of having your pension taken away and loved ones being interfered with, you know, rides upon a person's conscience. And as they near death or retirement, I think they're more willing to come out, just as the people that are involved with the phenomenon today, the young fighter pilots, they're fighting to restrain and hold back whatever they've witnessed, and they're probably going to wait another 20, 30 years, hopefully not. So I tend to believe it, you know, and the more research that gets done into it and the more excellent information that you're presenting tonight, it just ramps up the evidence, I think.
Well, you know, having this legislator come out and say what he said about having seen the briefing document just sweeps away all the debunking that was done about, oh, there was never any briefing, that's all nonsense. You know, that pretty much sweeps it away. And it sort of gives us reason to re-examine the credibility of some of these other accounts and stories that maybe we have kind of, at least to some degree, discounted. It gives us some a platform from which to work and say, okay, well, let's re-examine this. Let's see. And, you know, in light of this statement by Henry McElroy Jr., the legislator from New Hampshire, in light of this statement, I would say it gives Gerald Light's account a bit more credibility. And maybe it is true.
I agree.
Yeah.
The other thing to it, too, that it raises in my mind is that if extraterrestrials can neutralize intercontinental ballistic missiles in flight and within their launching pads, then they wouldn't really care if we have them, I think, unless they think that our having that arsenal represents a threat to ourselves and to perhaps lesser developed societies out there.
You may be right. You might be right. Stefan, thanks for the call, man. I appreciate it. We have to move along. Kevin informed us earlier that he was having trouble with the video. I've changed absolutely nothing, but I had the producer go online and check, and at first he could not get the video. He got a message that they couldn't find the content. He cleared it off and tried again, and the video is up. So I know many of you are watching it. Fun and games again tonight, but we're there. All right. I've got a flash message. Now, the telephone number is 623-444-5889. The toll-free number is 888-223-4599. So if you have a question or a comment, and I really would like to hear your thinking about all of this, give us a call. I have a flash message from Peter in Columbia. He says, the briefing idea, no problem, but I have never found the stories of Ike meeting with aliens convincing. First, I don't see an alien motive. They do as they please without permission. Two, how was the meeting arranged in the first place? This detail is missing from the stories I've heard. Have you come across this part? Did Ike get a telepathic message? How was the original contact made and the meeting set up in the first place? I don't know. I have no idea how that was set up. That information has not, as far as I know, ever been made public. However, the legislator that we heard earlier stated that the briefing document to Ike Eisenhower about the extraterrestrial presence. And he stated that it indicated that a meeting could be set up if he desired to have a meeting. How they did it, I don't know. I don't know. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hey, Kevin, this is Rusty from Michigan.
Hello, Rusty.
Hello. When did the, was it a senator or a congressman, when did he retire from being a congressman?
Okay, he's not a congressman. He's a state legislator who was on the committee that handled relations between the state of New Hampshire and the federal government. And so he was briefed in on, because of being on that committee, they were briefed in on a lot of federal stuff. Okay?
Is he still one?
No, he's retired.
Oh, okay. So I guess I tend to believe him because he doesn't really have, he's not gaining anything from it. From what I can see anyway. I mean, there's nothing been mentioned about him gaining anything. But the thing I'm kind of worried about, and I've heard a couple people allude to it, is I'm kind of looking at what's going to happen now, like such as there going to be another terrorist attack, or maybe the ETs are going to disclose themselves. Something's got to happen. What? There's got to be a reason why he came forward now. That's my question. Why now?
Oh, I see what you're saying. You think the timing of coming out with this statement is significant?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know, but you know what the information he provided was that the briefing document indicated that these extraterrestrials have not been any threat to us in the past, nor would they be any threat to us in the future. And he emphasized that point. So maybe with his ear to the ground, he's been hearing the drumbeat of the ETs are coming and they're going to attack us. Maybe that's what he's been hearing, and he's decided that he wants to put his two cents in to sort of mitigate that and make sure that people understand that the official documents he saw indicated otherwise.
That would make good sense, but something just tells me the timing of this, I mean, there seems to be nothing that has prompted him needing to say this. So I'm looking at that something's going to be happening right within the next month or two, I would say. It's like he's preparing, you know.
Well, it could be, but it also could be in response, for instance, to Stephen Hawking's statement that we should not have contact with these extraterrestrials because they may be dangerous to us. So maybe he's responding to that.
But if it was, that would only mean something to people who believe or know the alien presence to be true. For those who have just dismissed it, it would mean nothing to them. So mm-hmm. without a disclosure, it's going to be only mean something to a very limited number of people.
Yeah, I see your point. Well, you know, that's an angle I hadn't thought of, that the timing of the statement, the timing itself, may be significant. And but I see exactly what you're saying, that maybe the thing that has prompted him to come out with this statement now, maybe he knows that there's something that is about to happen with disclosure.
That's how I see it. Of course, I don't know that for sure. It would, you know, it's just speculation. But
well, what do you think would be the nature? Let's just follow your theory to its logical conclusion and say that disclosure happens within the next couple of months. and the president is on television, and he has perhaps the CIA director and perhaps the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, and they give this briefing on television and tell everyone that ETs are real and we're in contact with them. Okay, what do you think would be the nature of the briefing? Do you think they would brief us that these people are dangerous to us, or do you think they would brief us that they're not dangerous?
I think they would brief us that they're dangerous, although I'm of the same mind of you as you are that some probably are dangerous and some are not. But I think our government, they all, they breed fear. You know, look at the wars on the planet. So I don't see any change in that just because they're ET.
Yeah, you make a great point there. A great point. Okay, Rusty, thanks for the call, man. Good thinking. Good thinking. Man, I love it when we get to do things like this because you take me to school. And it's just like being in the university again. 623-444-5889. What do you think? What's your take on this? We'll be back with more of your perspectives on this right after this break. All right, welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. Tonight we're talking about Ike Eisenhower, President Eisenhower. And is the story true, the story that says on February the 20th, 1954, he had a meeting with extraterrestrials? Is it true? And we've presented additional evidence to go on the pile here tonight. What do you think about it? Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. It's Heidi from Manitoba calling.
Hello, Heidi.
Hi.
Hi. What do you think about all this?
Well, what I was thinking, just going back to that meeting that Eisenhower supposedly had with the ETs, now, the meeting that he had with the Nordic ones who reportedly would not give us technology, but who would help us get rid of the grays. Well, now 55 years have passed, and maybe another offer is being proposed by the Nordic-looking ETs who said, well, you wouldn't accept our offer before. Would you like to get rid of the grays now because you see what they've done and that it wasn't what you thought you'd be getting from them? So maybe things have changed on that front, and maybe that's the reason why this is coming forward now again.
I like the way you think.
Uh-huh.
Now, see, that's an angle that I haven't considered. In fact, I wouldn't, someone asked earlier, well, what if we now tried to contact that first group, and what if we tried to say to them now, come help us get rid of the grays? I said, I don't think that would be forthcoming, and I don't. I think if we initiated it, it would not happen. However, if they have come back and said, okay, now you've seen what it's like to deal with the grays, let's talk again about our helping you to get rid of those. I think that's a possibility and quite an interesting perspective.
And, maybe that is tying us in with this 2012 stuff as well, where there's, supposedly a new world coming. Well, maybe this sort of ties in with this. Maybe it's an offer being given again.
Well, you may be right. That's a very interesting perspective. Heidi, thanks for the call.
You're welcome.
All right. You see, folks, the audience of the Kevin Smith Show are a bunch of thinkers. And it's just marvelous to get all these different angles and perspectives on this. We've got one here on a flash message. This is from Bob in Australia. And he says, "Hi, Kevin. I do think it's true. This story has always stayed on track. It has never changed from the original story. It's true, all right. The thing is, when are the governments of the world going to pull their heads in and admit to the world that UFOs are real? All the best, mate. Bob from Australia." Thank you, Bob. All right, back to the telephone. And caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, this is Bob from California.
Bob from California. Bob, you need to send me an email this evening, okay?
Okay.
I don't care what it says. Just send me an email because I have email to forward to you.
Okay, great. Yeah, I was hoping that would come.
Yeah.
My question is sometimes people say that the Greys are kind of like clones, insect-like, and they don't have the same feelings. Quick question, and I'll hang up. Nothing brilliant. Who programmed them or made them? I mean, who's behind all that? Which race? Has anybody come up with any info on that? Thank you.
Okay. Well, Bob, yes, I have broached that question to several of our guests and have received the same answer from several of them. And that is that the Greys do not work for just one extraterrestrial race, but are used by various extraterrestrial races. And so some of them may be working for Group A, some for Group B, some for Group C. They are basically biological robots. That's the information that we have received. That's the information we've gotten. So if that's true, who the Greys work for could be anybody. Could be anybody. Well, it doesn't make sense to me that Ike would not have met with these extraterrestrials. It doesn't make sense that he would not. In 1952, on two successive weekends, on Saturday and then a week later on Saturday, a fleet of UFOs flew over the Capitol, Washington, D.C. People got that on film and on movie film. They got photographs of it. You had Air Force, high-ranking Air Force personnel that were eyewitnesses to it. You had pilots that were eyewitnesses to it. These things were on radar. And they were also visible in the sky. People on the ground saw it. Pilots in the air saw it. Now, there's that explanation that it was some kind of a heat inversion or a radar inversion or something. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Those things don't show up 3D. You know, they're on radar. You see them from the ground. You see them from the air. Those things don't happen. So here you had, in 1952, this fleet of UFOs that flies over the Capitol on Saturday. I think it was in September. And then the next Saturday, they did it again. You had lots and lots and lots of fairly spectacular UFO sightings. The Air Force was investigating them. The Air Force was telling people, "Look, if you see these things, report them to us. And you're not going to be ridiculed. Report it to us." There was an openness about the government's interest in UFOs at that point. Interestingly, after this 1954 meeting, assume that it happened, after that, and after this alleged treaty was signed, everything changed. They began to close down their openness. They began to institute ridicule against anyone that was talking about having seen a UFO or having had contact with an extraterrestrial. And the attacks became vicious, and they became, although they used what's called plausible deniability, they became rather overt, became obvious that the government was now at war with its citizens over the UFO information, and has remained so, and is so up until today to a certain degree. Well, it's been very interesting this evening to hear all the different perspectives about this, because this story's been around a long time. It comes percolating to the top, and then it sinks back down, and it percolates to the top, and it sinks back down. But I think that this statement by former state legislator Henry McElroy Jr., I think this statement puts it back on the top shelf, and perhaps will keep it there as one of the most significant stories in the history of UFO investigations and research. One of the interesting things about it was pointed out by one of our flash messages, and that is that the story has never changed. That's true, it hasn't. The basic elements of the story have remained the same down through the decades. And so it seems to me that there is a pretty high probability that it's all true. Don't know that for sure, but it seems that way. My friends call me Steel Eye, my enemies do too, and you can call me whatever you want to call me. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, so long, everybody.